We begin our scripture time with a modern scripture in the form of a poem.
Mary wept. Standing in the garden, soft dirt under her feet, sun still tucked away, sleeping under the horizon. The other disciples left, but Mary stayed. Mary wept. Shoulders shaking, tears running down her face. She said, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." But here's what Easter has taught me. If you think you've lost God, if it feels like heaven has slipped through the cracks, if you feel like the night will never end, then know there is no hide and seek with the divine that doesn't end in you being found. Stay still. Keep breathing. God is closer than you think.
Prepare yourself for the receiving of the word from the Gospel of John 20:1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? "Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts incite us to revolutionary action and justice and love, and be oh so acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I hinted towards this last week, and I find it to be very true and very important. In our lives, we often celebrate the high points and forget about the low. There have been studies that have shown that people often do this on social media, only sharing those good things that are happening in their lives. I made the conscious decision a number of years ago that I would not do that, that when it came to social media, I would do my very best to model what it looked like to be vulnerable for the benefit of my congregants, my fellow clergy, and being real with myself, showing the world the authentic me. I suspect that being real has been what has saved me from despair and depression, even as I experience it. Taking time for all the moments in our lives and honoring them, I think, is really important, so that when the hard times come, they hit a little softer. And when joy abounds, we might relish it just a little longer. In these ups and downs, we find those who will come with us, who will journey with us. Our friends, our beloveds, our family. Who are you looking for? This Easter Sunday, churches across traditions and across the world are celebrating the risen Christ. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Yet many Christians skip from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday and forget the very important week in between. Some even will skip the whole Lenten season, or only attend on Christmas and Easter. If you're one of those Christians, please, please understand that I'm not shaming you. This is not shame coming from my lips. But it does make me think of a rather amusing joke. At least I think it's funny, and hopefully you'll laugh with me. Jack was in line to greet the pastor. When he got to the pastor, he said, "Pastor, every time I attend, you say the same thing." The pastor smirked and said, "Jack, try attending more than on Easter, and you'll probably hear something different." The truth, though, is that while I never recycle sermons, I probably could preach the same sermon once in every 3 years as the lectionary cycle renews, and most people would be hearing something different, even if you heard it 3 years ago. Our lives change, our life circumstances change, and what we need from a sermon might be very different right now than what it might be in 3 years from now, or even next week. That said, one of the things that I noticed throughout this Lenten season is that different people need different things from Jesus, at the beginning of the season, a religious leader needs to sneak in and quietly ask Jesus questions, reminding us that sometimes the most important conversations happen in intimate, private settings. The next week, Jesus meets with a woman at Jacob's well, deep in the heart of enemy territory, reminding us that improbable places can lead to deep connection. Then Jesus dispels myths around sin and disability, giving sight to a blind man and opening many eyes at the same time. Jesus is disturbed by the death of his friend Lazarus, but also names Mary the tower. He leads a protest right into Jerusalem, showing a sacred example of God's grace, subverting power. He washes his friend's feet, teaching us to be servants to one another. He teaches us to question everything and everyone, including God, while asking God why in his last breaths. So do you see how Jesus is different for different people everywhere in their present need? Do you hear why the question of who are you seeking is important? When Jesus asks Mary the tower who she is looking for and why she is weeping, she assumes that Jesus is some detractor who has moved the body of Jesus, perhaps to defile it, perhaps to keep it from those who followed him. Her heart is full of fear instead of hope. Her tears are once again causing Jesus' heart to stir. What assumptions are keeping you from seeing Christ's presence today? What fear needs to be lifted? Linking back to the sermon and discussion about Mary from 2 weeks ago, how powerful is it that Mary becomes the apostle to the apostles, that Jesus gives her the primacy of place to go and tell his disciples what she witnessed? When we consider that, then we need to consider whose voices have we kept from speaking, while, of course, keeping in mind that boundaries and safety are important. We should not cut people off from speaking due to economic reasons or reasons of gender, sexual orientation, or anything like that. We progressive Christians can be very good about including people, including people who are of various genders, sexual orientations, races, and so forth. But there are always those who we might not want to include. I have no doubt in my mind that there are images of Christ that some of us might still cling to, perhaps from our evangelical days, perhaps from other places. Some of those are not always positive. So we need to consider what image of Jesus is missing in our minds. What image of Jesus do we shy away from? I can't answer that for you, but I think it's good to consider. Who are you looking for? What Jesus do you want? I think most importantly, when we consider what Jesus we want, is to consider what Jesus makes us whole. If we can experience love from the author of love, whether we believe that to be in the form of Jesus Christ or just best communicated to us through Jesus, I think we can do a bit better in our loving each other and loving others. I think we can love others fully and completely as we experience that love from the one who gives it freely. We are capable of loving because we were first completely loved. To say that Jesus is risen does not just mean that he came back to life like some strange scriptural zombie. Thank you for laughing. It was intended to be funny. As amusing as I find it when friends of mine wish me Happy Zombie Jesus Day, that's not the point. The point is that when we face death, whether it's our own or others, we are not alone. Death is a difficult part of life, but it is part of life and not absent from it. Yes, just as the gospel singer puts it, death, you have lost your sting. But that death does not mean that death does not still exist. But rather, it is part of the journey of life. This can be witnessed even in cremation. As Neil deGrasse Tyson put it when he learned about the death of an 11-year-old astrophysicist, the curiosity of children famously knows no bounds around the house, the backyard, the neighborhood, any new place. But when that curiosity includes the universe itself, you're in the presence of someone poised to change the world. To lose Annalise at age 11, brimming with so much cosmic ambition, will forever leave me wondering what she might have accomplished as a grown-up kid. Grown-up kids are scientists and anybody else who retained their childhood curiosity into adulthood. Of course, we will never know the answer to that question. But we do know the physics of cremation. The energy contents of her body, itself reduced to ash, actually enters Earth's atmosphere. It ultimately escapes to space in the form of infrared energy radiating in all directions at the speed of light, filling the voids of the cosmos with her presence. At the moment I write this, Annalise's energy has extended a half trillion miles into space, more than 100 times the distance to Pluto. Though she will live in collective memories for all our lives, in the universe, she lives for all eternity. Respectfully submitted, Neil deGrasse Tyson on April 3rd, 2022, New York City. So it is even with Christ's death and resurrection, and also our own. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is risen. Amen.